Welcome to Ahead of the Game, a podcast brought to you by the Digital Marketing Institute. I'm your host, Will Francis, and today I'll be talking to Tom Kendall, Head of Digital Marketing for the EMEA region at IBM, all about how that company went through a major digital transformation and what he learned along the way. As well as working at IBM, Tom is also on the advisory board for the Digital Marketing Institute. With over 18 years' experience across agency and B2B, Tom has been leading digital-led initiatives to both B2B and B2C clients throughout his career. Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's great. Oh, it's an absolute pleasure and an honour to have you here. And I am fascinated to hear about this topic because I think we're all kind of interested in how a behemoth organisation like IBM handles digital. Just for the benefit of our listeners, nice to give sort of set the scene a little bit. Just give us your most succinct definition of digital transformation and what that is.
The transformation, honestly, from a marketing standpoint, is going back to your people, process and platforms. And in actually some cases, your products and services to be as really client experience and a client first approach as possible digitally. So from that perspective, you know, you're thinking, how do I make it as easy as possible for my clients or potentially new clients to experience my products, my services, get in touch with us and work with us to make sure that it's as easy as possible and as seamless as possible. Sometimes we always think, you know, internal politics and internal things we know best. And sometimes you do. But at the end of the day, the client knows what they need and knows what they want. Mm. So if you put the client centrally at the center from a digital point of view and a digital transformation point of view, it becomes easy then to look at the holistic approach and the things that sprout off that.
Absolutely. Did you say that it breaks down to people, process, platforms?
Yeah, I would say people. And if you do the old age-old analogy of marketing, you bring in the fourth and fifth P, but the people, process, platforms, and then when you're thinking about bringing in other departments, I would say, or other parts of the business, especially for B2B, you'd be talking about products as well.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I suppose platforms is, that's just tools, that's just technology. Process is the use of that technology. So that's quite kind of black and white. I suppose it's the people that's the challenging bit for a lot of organizations, because driving adoption and driving change of behavior, is that where the bigger challenges lie, do you think?
I'd say so. Everything needs to knit together perfectly. When you kind of put into people parts of the process, you need to think about who you're working with to change the mindset. So how do we make sure that they're changing, or what are their skill sets to change and upskilling to make them more digitally ready? You're then thinking of other departments, so sales, how are we changing their mindset to be better digitally? How do we get them to be engaging differently via digital platforms? And then probably the last part is your execs. We've all got targets. We've all got business targets. We've all got everything to in terms of achieving revenue targets or any kind of target you've got as a KPI. You need to make sure your management is understanding the way things are changing. I would say people is probably the biggest challenge in terms of transformation. And I would also say, just add on, and it's interesting, change also, if you think about a challenge of digital transformation, it's always difficult. You're trying to transform the business while still making the business, right? You've also always got targets. So that happy balance, and that goes into people's perceptions, changing people's perceptions, because at the end of the day, KPIs and targets or whatever kind of big goals your business sets, transforming the business while still making the business is one of the toughest challenges we see. And like I said before, you still need to keep the other side of the circle or the wheel still turning whilst introducing a new circle or new wheel to engage. It's a lot of training and education. And I think one of the thing we've kind of seen is the amount of patience and education that we're providing as a digital strategist point of view has been kind of the biggest step change, I would say, from it we've seen across probably the last 12 to 18 months.
So do you mean just in broad investment in upskilling? Is that what's going on there?
If you're not upskilling or you're not learning new things in digital, you're probably not doing the right thing, right? Because if things are changing daily, things are always changing. I think we've always, within IBM, but we've always had an always-on education point of view, whether it being internal, external, whatever it is. In terms of when you're thinking about the upskilling point of view from what we've seen, a lot of it is on platform capabilities. You know, what can we do to improve the customer experience in the platform?
So just thinking about this process of going through digital transformation, how important do you think is in the internal communication? We've talked about people, you know, they need to be moved and they need to be kind of bought in. So how important is that persuasive internal communication to drive stakeholder buy-in? You know, not just senior stakeholders, but whoever needs to be on board with this. And what did that actually look like in IBM?
Yeah, I would say from a transformation point of view, sometimes you have to do and then come back and tell. But a lot of the bigger projects, like I've been saying about, especially putting the customer first or customer centric first, I kind of put our commute comms into, you know, a lot of my team are being educators, teacher first kind of point of view. I would say we've probably been putting into, like I said before, about three big buckets of people or comms that we internal communication sections. One is obviously the sales teams, face-to-face or digital sales or sales development reps or however you like to call them, the inside sales teams. And over the last 12 to 8 months has been really changed in terms of looking at older types of content. Do you have duplicate content? Are there specific pages that just don't resonate anymore?
Do you sort of zoom in and watch how people move around your digital assets?
There's so many tools out there, right? There's so many tools and all of them have their benefits. But yes, I think kind of you've got your raw data, you know, your Google Analytics is probably the biggest one, biggest example that people use, where you can pull many different dashboards and everything from engagement rate to completion to everything you want to see. But you're right, the adding in of the hot jars of this world or the decibels to observe specific people's kind of engagement or specific areas, and then you add the personalization layer into that, which is, you know, it's an important area. The area of personalization and testing is, again, something that should always be on, because you always want to see if something is working and resonating correctly. But yeah, the tool sets that the team would use, definitely, I would always say, don't poo-poo anything, always be inquisitive. You know, for new things coming in, just test it to see what the pros and cons on how you would use it, what use cases you'd use it in. Because at the end of the day, it's probably not one tool solves all, it's a you know, it's a mix of a number of different tools. So we looked at old pages, looked at quality of them, looked at broken links. And then from our standpoint, my standpoint, from a geo perspective, a geography perspective, what the local language experience is looking like. Am I got the same experience if I was in France versus the US? Or, you know, a global English point of view. And you found that, you know, or how many versions am I out? If you're talking about X, what's my French web page talking about? Is it the same? Is it really having the same impact? There's a lot of duplicate content, competing content. And if you bubble it all up, the bubble up was, is Google reacting? And if Google isn't reacting to you and understanding and indexing your pages or recognizing you, then it's probably not likely that your clients are. So that was kind of the big, big project. And it's been a big change when you look at our architectures, our web architectures. But overall, it's simplifying how do you go from brand consideration down to demand much more simply and easily. And you'd see that when you look at IBM.com, you'd see that across the board.
And does that involve working across lots of different teams, UX, make sure the ease of getting the job done on the user's part is there, design, making sure it's intuitive and it's pleasing, web product teams, web development.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of people to kind of coordinate there, isn't there?
A lot. Agencies, etc.
Yeah.
They all play the execution side of the house. You got the strategy side of the house, which is nice and good, but the execution side of the house and the implementation is vital. And everybody has to be seen from the same hymn sheet.
Yeah. It's funny because I can't help but think that the stuff you talk about, it will be difficult somewhere like IBM, but there are kids in their bedrooms running Shopify sites all alone. And in a way, they're able to do this stuff in a late night, you know, Gatorade-fueled session on the back end of their Shopify. Do you know what I mean? And it's so asymmetrical in that way, isn't it? That we can use very simple tools to A-B test to find more optimal versions of a flow or journey or website. We can just design, build, deploy instantly, you know, at the sort of like small business scale. And yet IBM and all big organizations have an inherent disadvantage in that way.
Yeah.
But then there are also obviously lots of advantages, or else it wouldn't be worth having all those teams and people.
I think all bigger clients always look at a startup mentality. I would say there's probably a lot of bigger B2B, bigger B2C have got a lot of old heritage systems, old heritage platforms, a lot of old heritage processes. Breaking that model and rebuilding it quickly is probably on everybody's wish list. Practically, yeah. Takes a little bit more time. I would say the advantages of when you come into a bigger size, you have, if you just look at IBM.com and look at the amount of products and services that we cater for, I think trying to break into the client kind of touch points to make it as simple as possible is the biggest area. And when we look at competition or competitive analysis of who's doing things well, you know, yes, let's look at our main competitors. But actually, you drive interest from B to C, especially, or net new point, things that are coming out interesting from B to B, especially when you start thinking about how do you buy simply and easily. And it sounds easy, but what things do you need to make sure that everybody needs to align to buy simply and easily engage with from a digital platform perspective? It's probably the big thing we've been really looking at niche other businesses. But I also think the necessary really identifying and looking at your platform of choice. So your CMS platform or your testing platform. But if you're looking from a CMS platform, your content management system platform, you know, what do you really want to make sure and grow in that platform to ensure the capabilities are hitting the business targets, but also hitting your client experience target? I think that's when you've got that into place and you add in probably, if you think of, although I'm not specific about paid media, I worked in agency side and I have led paid media in IBM.
Yeah.
If you start adding in the holistic digital approach of, okay, let's start putting in the investment of paid media and our modeling, investment modeling, where we want to be successful, which countries we want to be successful in, and the perceived outcome, click-through rates, clicks, completions of the data. But everything comes back to, are you showing market value? Are you actually showing market contribution to the overall business target and KPIs? And I think the big area sometimes with digital, which is tough, is you can predict trends, but as we've seen, things and different things and different outside social impact how things happen within a business. And so a lot of our discussion is, if you really want to win big in digital, really want to win big, you need to have a significant investment behind it to follow. You really have to.
I'm curious, how did you get into this stuff? Why is this what's on your desk these days? How did you arrive here?
I arrived randomly behind a biochemistry degree. So probably the most random thing ever, biochemist to digital marketer. Let's take the big thing, via advertising.
From
a website perspective, the way that marketing, and I think, you know, the circumstances of COVID really changed the way that businesses focus on engagement and go to market routes, the way that we needed to engage and change differently our engagement on paid media changed overnight. And it's not to say the website was lying dormant, but the importance of the website went from, oh yeah, you needed to produce a web page, to you've got to make that web page and the surrounding experience as good as humanly possible and as easy as humanly possible. That for me gets me going. That's why I've been doing this role and been doing digital roles for, you know, most of my IBM career, and before that, kind of digital skill sets when I was in from an agency point of view.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I most people in marketing I know didn't study marketing as a degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
People do all kinds of weird and wonderful degrees, and I think there's something about marketing that looks like fun to work in if you have some sort of brush with it accidentally or an internship or something like that, right?
I don't know if
have you been at IBM?
Coming up to 12 years now. So I came in via an acquisition called QRadar. Business was based here in Northern Ireland. Came in, worked on helping integrate the business into IBM, and then worked within the security business unit or security area, and I ran globally the digital team from here, which was great. You know, in terms of when you're saying, you know, about digital, I ran a team of about 25 to 30 people direct across the globe, from Austin to here to Bucharest to Bangalore. You know, I ran them across the board in terms of changing the security business. And then probably for the last, 4 or 5 years, been within the EMEA, or EMEA, Europe, Middle East and Africa, at IBM, running our digital projects overall.
I can see our time is running short. I just want to make sure we get in our top tips question that we like to ask everyone at the end. And if we've got other stuff to talk about, we will. But just tell us, what would be your top tips? So your like bullet point tips for anyone embarking on a digital transformation project?
Being patient is going to be number one. I think
how patient? What you're not surely to wait. You're going to wait forever for 5 years, but
you will see and you will test things that will maybe not work day one, maybe work again day two, maybe not work again day three. you will get pushback. You will get approvals straight away. You'll get approvals that may take a bit more time. I think that kind of relates back, kind of into, it goes back into my second top tip. You know, be prepared to be a peacemaker. I think from a perspective of, you know, we've talked, had a really good chat here about how many people you need to work with and how many different teams you need to work with. The number of people may change in a big company to the roles of the different people. Even if you're in a smaller B2B, B2C, you're still going to have to work with your peers in sales or your development team or your WebEx or agency or CEOs, whatever the size. But you're gonna be a peacemaker, because to do your transformation, sometimes you have to rip up the book and you have to play it again. You have to really start from scratch again. Really robust processes, clear ownership. Okay. You can either get your own platforms to really detect clear processes and ownership. Recovery plans are always important. Especially when you're thinking about your big pages, the most important pages, digital health checking, as well as key processes in terms of clear ownership is key.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, doesn't it? Everybody knows what their job is and everybody knows where everything is and where previous versions of that are. Just one more question for you to cap off. Tell people where they can find you and connect with you online.
Oh, thank you. I'm on Twitter, at TomKendall1, number one. You can find me and connect with me on LinkedIn.
Well, thanks so much, Tom. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much for having
me. And hope to chat to you again soon.
Take care.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about transforming your marketing career through certified online training, head to digitalmarketinginstitute.com. Thanks for listening.